today on Real Radio.
The Antichrist is not going to be some wicked, mean man on the surface. He's going to be the master deceiver of the world. The word anti is instead of. The world is going to look at this man and say, that's the Christ right there, an imposter.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called When God Restores, continues a new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah records the powerful ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's calling as a prophet was primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah urged the people to repent from their sins and return to God. He also foretold the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, also what will happen in the last days. In Isaiah chapter 3, we were shown a cycle of great prosperity under King Uzziah. Then we saw sin and a departure from God, with their identity tied to their possessions. And in their self-indulgence and wealth, Isaiah warns Judah to repent and return to God, or it'll all be taken away. We also learned that, as it was in Isaiah's time, we cannot allow disobedience to take over our lives. And unless we turn away from sinning and turn to Christ, it'll also not end well for us. Now in chapter 4, we find Judah in captivity, but God's coming restoration. Today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the Bible warns us in numerous places to follow after God so that your name remains in the book of life. There is a book of life and a Lamb's book of life. Everyone's name is in the book of life, but when you accept Christ as your Savior, your name is added to the Lamb's book of life. But if you choose not to follow Christ, your name will also be blotted out of the book of life. And now continuing his lesson called When God Restores, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 3, and it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. Jerusalem's going to remain Jerusalem. Mount Zion, I wish I had a map. So watch, here's the map. I'm the map. Here is Mount Zion, okay? And here's Jerusalem, kind of in the middle, toward the north a little bit. Mount Moriah is up here. Moriah, Jerusalem, all of this Mount Zion, specifically there's areas where the Bible records certain events where like David praised the Lord on Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. We sing that song, it's right out of the scriptures. God says in his Bible, oh yeah, by the way, I'm gonna bless Zion, Jerusalem. It's gonna be intact. I'll keep it. And he says something right here that those in there will be two specific things. They're gonna be marked holy, and there's gonna be a record. Think of that for a moment. Specifically, the Jewish people who believe in Jesus at the end of the tribulation period, there'll be those who will enter into what's called the kingdom or the kingdom of Christ where he rules and reigns. So as they live in, there's this announcement, there's this declaration, there's this assignment. You're holy unto the Lord. Now you guys, we all know this is not us. Do you understand that's not us? We will come back with him in the second coming. When the millennium begins, there'll be those we'll call, because we'll be glorified, we'll be with the Lord by that time. We'll call them like us. They're mortals like us. They're going to live into the kingdom. The kingdom age that Jesus Christ sits upon the throne of David. This is where it gets very, very cool. In that time, those who are declared holy, they're declared holy just like you are by their faith in Christ. But there'll be those that will live into the kingdom age. The Bible tells us, we'll come to it in Isaiah, that a man, it says when a man dies at the age of 100, he will die as though he were a child. Isn't that cool? Have you thought about that? You know, people like, you know, you go to Hollywood, right? And people want to, there's places where you can go. I mean, I guess I've not been, you've not been, but you've heard about them, where people with a lot of money try to find these doctors who have these magic super duper potions that will help you live longer. Now, that's kind of ironic, isn't it? The way the world's going, do you really want to live longer? Really? But nonetheless, it's in the human heart, it appears, that whatever we can do to live longer, let's do it, and look younger, and I think as a Christian, it's like, okay, I'm getting older. That's okay. I can deal with that. I can cope with that. I'm getting closer to the kingdom. I'm getting closer to meeting the Lord. I think Christians have reconciled that. You know, it's okay thing to grow old in Jesus. You know, and the world doesn't have Jesus, so they're panicking. So you see, you know, 90-year-old men and women that are, you know, some of their body parts are 21 years old, but no matter what they do, there's just something about them that's still 90 years old. It's just not working. They're terrible. What does that outward thing announce? This is what it really announces. It announces that they're terrified of death. And the Lord doesn't want you to be terrified of death. He broke that. He busted that down. And if you don't know that good news, then you're terrified. It's threatening. And I understand that. I understand when we were not Christians, death was the ultimate devastation and the fear of it all. And what do I do to avoid it? You know, it's funny. What did we do to avoid it? But then when we were young and stupid, you know, we drank or we raced cars or drugs or whatever you did. You know, you got this close to death, this close to eternity. I was coming up from San Diego tonight from these meetings, and the traffic was heavy, but it was flowing, you know, it was going. And, you know, we're all the same on this, right? You're driving along, and you're thinking or listening to the radio or the whatever, and you don't expect that guy in that ninja bike, right? It's always the guy in the that comes right by your mirror. And you know, you're going 60 miles an hour and he's going 80 miles an hour. And the first thought of my mind was, whoa. And then my thought is, I could have just swerved a little bit. I never even saw the guy. I could have leaned over. I could have dropped my phone or spilled my coffee or something. And I could have moved my wheel just a little bit and taken that guy out. And he would have been in eternity. And you see some of those guys, and they're like, they're hanging out, and they're goofing off, and they're popping, and they don't even realize there's a second from eternity. Hey, man, hey, slow, you need two wheels like I've got. Woo! And then you're thinking, does that guy know how close he is? My daughter and I were coming from Calvary Chapel, Pasadena, and I had spoken there, and we were coming back home, so we were coming down the 57 freeway, and her and I were just talking, and one of those bikes just went right by. And when you're coming from, and you guys have to help me, because I've lived here for a while, I still don't know the area, but when you're coming down the 57 toward here, there's that long San Dimas, I think, is on one side of the street, Bernelli Park, somewhere. You know what I'm talking about? So we're going, and it's dark, and we're driving. And up ahead now, way up ahead, all of a sudden, there's this big boom of fire. I mean, like an explosion. You saw the lights come on, and cars began to swerve around. And she goes, look, what's going on? And I said, I think somebody's gasoline tank blew up or something, or something fell off of a car and ignited, whatever, work truck. And we pulled up there, my daughter and I, and there were people out of their cars, and it was that motorcycle rider. Well, that really, really bothered us terribly. We saw him fly by, and we said, oh, man, look at that crazy guy. And then we completely forgot about it. And seconds later, church, He's in forever. He's in eternity. Was he a believer? Was he? That's the first thought that goes through your mind, is it not? Was he a believer? Was he a non? Oh, Lord, you know. And I know people try to comfort themselves by saying, you know, we've heard it just recently on the airplane crash in the Java Sea, is we need to pray for their souls. Well, they're already dead. It's too late. The Bible says that's too late. Time's up. Hebrews 9:27 says, time's up. There's no decision afterward. There is no second chance. Every day that you wake up, that is your chance to make sure you make a commitment to Christ. Amen. And that leads us to this record right here that's written down, this record. Notice with me, it says that in verse 2 that everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. And that reminds me of something, you guys. In your Bibles, in Revelation 13:8. Can you turn there for a minute? Revelation 13:8, and mark this down if you would. Revelation 13:8 says, "And all who dwell on the earth will worship him." This is the Antichrist, whose names have not been written. Mark this. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Mark that down, you guys. It's Revelation 13:8. There'll be those in the end days who will worship, commit, give allegiance to the Antichrist. And it's unfortunate we call him the Antichrist, because we, in the West, we think Antichrist like he's got fangs and he hasn't brushed his teeth in a couple of months. He's got red underwear with a tooth, with a fork. No. Antichrist is instead of Christ. Do you know that? The Antichrist is not going to be some wicked, mean man on the surface. He's going to be the master deceiver of the world. The word anti or anti is instead of. The world is going to look at this man and say, "That's the Christ right there." And he's going to say, "Really, that's awesome. I got to set up this system of economics," Revelation 13 says. And imagine what's going to bring that on. Could it be terrorism? Could it be crime? But here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to number everybody. Maybe it's for security reasons. Maybe not everybody's going to have LifeLock. And you're going to need a mark on your right hand or your forehead. And he's going to say, because of the way the world is, you're going to need this identification system, but don't worry, you'll be able to buy or sell. And we'll abolish crime that way. Think of it. You can't have human trafficking unless you take away cash. You can't have terrorism unless you take away cash. Right? Think about it. Drugs. It's a brilliant plan. The Bible says in the last days, someone's going to come up with an idea to use numeric transactions. Numbers. And the Bible says it's going to be on your right hand or on your forehead. And that's how you're going to do transactions. And the Bible says, Revelation 13, you won't be able to buy or sell without the mark. But to get the mark, you have to show allegiance to this instead of Christ, the replacement of Jesus, an imposter. And the Bible says right here in verse 8, Revelation 13, that all those people whose names are not written, look at it carefully, everybody in your Bible, in the book of life of the Lamb. This is important, because there is the Lamb's book of life, and then there is the book of life. Mark this down. Get your pen ready, and I want you to put a couple of references to that Revelation 13:8 verse. And one of them is just to look back a little bit at verse 5. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and he was given authority to continue 42 months. This is the Antichrist, okay? So just context sake. But now turn over to Revelation 20, verse 12. Revelation 20, 12. Look at that for a moment. 11 and 12. Revelation 20, beginning at verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne." None of you want to be there, by the way. You do not want to end at the great white throne. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books, plural. So there's multiple books on the day of judgment for the unbelievers. There's only one book that theologians can track regarding you who are Christians tonight. There's only one book. If you're not a Christian tonight, there are multiple books that will be open on the day of judgment. Number one, only Christians appear before the judgment seat of Christ, says the book of 1 Corinthians. To do what? For what reason? Exactly. We are going to be judged by Jesus regarding our opportunities of ministry. Did we serve him? And with what motive did we serve him? Were we doing it think about it, in your tithes and your offerings, in your speaking out for others? Look, these opportunities to stand for righteousness, to support the city council because they want to pray. The Lord's going to ask you. He's not going to say, oh man, you know what? You were doing so good, but you didn't show up at the city council meeting, so you've got to go to hell now. I'm sorry, but you were doing so good and you messed it. That's not what's going to happen. The judgment seat of Christ will determine for us our stewardship over the opportunities God brought to our lives. Are you with me, everybody? He's going to ask you and I, you worked 8, 9, or 10 hours a day, and you had this remaining time afterward. How did you invest the time I gave you? I asked you in my Bible to redeem the time, so how'd it go? Let's talk about that. And we're going to have to answer him. You're not going to hell, but we'll have to give an account. Every one of us, we will have to answer for how we spent his money, how we spent the energy he gave us, the influences that you and I have. Some of you are on the worship team. You can sing. And you do that for the Lord. He's going to say, that's awesome. You may be a Christian tonight and be in a secular rock band. And God's going to say, well, man, I mean, I didn't like that rock band's music. I didn't have their album. I didn't like it. Or he'd say, I give you a voice, but you used it for this group or for that group. You should have sang for me. I'd like to, for you. You see what I'm saying? We're going to be responsible for this. Each and every one of us, whatever it is. I thank God he didn't give me a voice to be judged by, but he gave me other things. Right? And you look at me and you go, oh, Pastor Jack, you're going to be in a whole heap of trouble on that day. Well, listen, you need to think about you. Because I'm responsible to take what he's given me and make sure I use it for him, you see. Okay, so that's very, very important. And so here in Revelation, at the great white throne, the book of life is opened. That's all it says. The book of life is opened, and the people there are judged according to what's in the books. Okay? Now look at Revelation 21:27. 21:27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. He's talking about heaven. But only those who are written in the what? Let me hear it again. The Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, what does this mean? This is what it means. In the Bible, it says numerous times. In fact, Moses was concerned about it. Paul mentions it, and the book of Revelation mentions it. Have you heard this before? Watch out, beware, lest your name be blotted out of the book of life. Have you heard this? You never want to have your name blotted out of the book of life. Here's what happens. Number one, the unbeliever appears before God, the Father, with no mediator. They appear before him with no advocate. They have no defense. They're alone before him. And the books are open. And then the book of life is open. And allow me to humanize it this way. And boom, there's your name, Billy. Billy. Billy Bob. Billy Bob, here's your name here in the book of life. And I'm making an assumption here in a moment. You'll see why in a second. And let's open up the other books regarding Billy Bob. Oh, okay, here's Billy Bob's life. Well, number one, he never accepted Christ. And so his life is reviewed, and he's judged by the judge according to the things written in the book. That's terrifying. There's no forgiveness, there's no mercy, there's no grace at this moment, none. I'm making an assumption that Billy Bob's name is written in the book. And I say, I'm declaring an assumption. Why? Let's leave the non-believer right there. Let's come on over to here. As a believer, the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, you got me? Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they appear before Jesus, not the Father, in judgment. And they're rewarded for what they did with their life for Jesus. It's all good, because heaven is where this takes place, and heaven is where they stay.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When God Restores. Thanks for listening, and our prayer is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life so that you can spend eternity in heaven with the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus, our Lord. When God Restores is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, a lot of us today, including Christians, struggle with depression and even thoughts of suicide. The holiday season can be especially tough for those of us who are already struggling with depression. The question is, how do we deal with this huge issue in today's culture? And is there a biblical answer for when we allow our emotions to shape our view of life? The Apostle Paul, King David, and even Moses had extreme thoughts of depression. We at times can spiral out of control with emotions that lead us down a very dark path of despair. That's why Pastor Jack talks about it in one of his programs. When you go to his website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, simply click on the Home or Watch tab. Once there, you'll find Pastor Jack bringing a message of hope for all of us who struggle with our emotions. The program is called Dealing with Depression and Thoughts of Suicide. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. God deeply cares for us and is involved in all the details of our lives, including depression. His desire is to restore all of us and to lift us up by giving us a new hope for the future. Again, the program is called Dealing with Depression and Thoughts of Suicide, and you can find it on Pastor Jack's website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also find it on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so at Real Life with Jack Hibbs on the app, or just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.